This is Weekend. Let's hear it on WMUK. I'm Cara Laurence. Thanks for coming along. I'm a little late to the party in discovering Lush, an instrumental fusion group made up of Western Michigan University jazz students venturing out into electronic sounds. They've been gigging around West Michigan for a couple of years, all while compiling new ideas and new music. Lush's latest ambitious project is to record a live album in front of an audience on Saturday, November 18th. There will be two shows at 4:30 and 8 p.m. at Overneath Studios in downtown Kalamazoo. The five original members of Lush will be supplemented by four additional performers from the School of Music in order to perform new works by Lush member Andrew Saliba. There'll be two artists creating new work during the performances and three computer programmers projecting images that respond to the live performance. To hear more about how these elements are coming together and for the Lush origin story, stick around to Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK. Let me start off by thanking all of you for coming, and that includes producer Alex Tobin, bassist Matthew Epperson, guitarist Andrew Saliba, drummer Madison George, saxophonist Eddie Codrington, and on keyboards, it's Grayson Nye. Thank you so much for coming to WMUK.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to start with you, Alex, as producer of this upcoming event, which is called Insight Unsought. I'd like to hear the outlines, and then we'll get a little further in, because this is an elaborate, sure. Occasion.
It's a big project, and I think it involves a lot of people, but it started just right here with Lush. We were looking to do a very large event for the community and to put on a concert of some kind and to record an album of some kind. And we ended up bringing in painters, Tessa and Clara, to do some great work for us, to do some live response to the music, which I really dug because they're an experimental jazz group, and their music has changed so much over the past few years, even since we've been working together. And so the improvisation element was very great. So it had to be live. So we brought in painters for this group. And then I, in the past few years, past few months, really got involved with a lot of projections design. So it'll be a live concert with painters on the stage and visual projections that will be behind the performers. And the visual projections you'll find are fairly reactive to the music.
It's a small space. The audience will be gathered at Overneath Creative Collective.
Yes.
Downtown on the Mall in their upstairs studio.
Yes.
And actually there are two full shows.
Indeed. Saturday, November 18th, there will be two performances, one at 4:30 and one at 8 p.m. with doors 30 minutes beforehand, like a normal show. And we will gather the audience in the Kevin Brown Live Room at Overneath, where they have a lot of their live sessions around the community. And we'll, you know, pack as many people in to go through the show with us. Yeah, it's a small space, but you can fit quite a few people up there. And the studio atmosphere is exactly what we needed to pull off this live album. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand that seats can be reserved ahead of time, although this is a free and open event.
Absolutely.
But since the space is limited, that it might be a good idea to go online and make sure that there's space.
Absolutely, yes. And we have Facebook events out there. Social media tends to be a great way to get some things out to the public. But so that's where our ticket information can be found. Insight Unsought, a live experience, is how you find that on Facebook. I think it's also worth noting that we want to give a really big shout out to the Kalamazoo Institute of Art. We received a grant from them for making a lot of this event possible. So that was a very, very, very big thing that we're able to make this event as accessible as possible. And we want as many people to be involved and to see it for that reason.
Okay, so Alex, I want to rewind. Take us back a little ways.
I was a young buck. learning about recording and trying to find a band to just get in the studio. And I was passing Grayson in the hallways of Dalton, who we had worked together, Gold Company. Was it Gold Company?
Yeah, it was GC2.
Yeah. So we were fumbling around trying to figure out what we were going to do with ourselves. And I said, Grayson, if you ever have a band that needs to be recorded, man, let me know. And he said...
I said, yeah, absolutely. I have a band, and it's Lush. we had just formed at that time.
And so I brought these guys in the studio, and it was a live to two-track project, and which means that it was all done in one cut. We got them all in the studio, and I threw up some microphones, and as they were playing their take, I was mixing down the track. And so when the cut was done, that was it. And it was hard and fast, and it was great. I mean, I love working that way because I was essentially performing with them, trying to figure out how to get the right mix. And at the end of everything, that you guys turned to me and said, "Hey, we actually want to buy this mix. Can we have it?" And I was like, "What?"
The track we recorded was Great Fairy's Fountain Theme from The Legend of Zelda.
Grayson Nye, you're the keyboardist of Lush. Alex Tobin, the live engineer and producer. Here's a good time for some input from saxophonist Eddie Codrington and drummer Madison George, because this band also started with your friendship. Madison?
I think we both realized it early freshman year that we both liked this particular band called the Chris Potter Underground, which is a quartet of saxophone, but then Rhodes keyboard, electric guitar, and drums, and they play a lot of like beat oriented kind of
like funk, like
stuff. Yeah, electronic kind of type of jazz, and so we both really liked that, and we both were into Donny McCaslin's band, Electronic Quartet, and so we were talking over the summer after that freshman year, going into our sophomore year, just about different types of stuff, and we both just said, man, like, let's just start a band and play some stuff like that. So we did. We got together. We learned one tune that was arranged by Eddie, right? You arranged Swing?
Yeah, that's right. A Dwelle.
By R&B artist Dwelle.
Yeah.
And we did it. And then Great Fairy's Fountain, actually, which was the one we recorded with Tobin, that was the second tune that we had ever learned. That was the second song we had as a band. Like, we only had two songs at that point when we recorded that single. So
my freshman year, I saw Madison was in a group called Top Dirty, and they were playing like the music that I like wanted to play, and I was like, I need to like be a part of this like somehow. So I asked the leader of that band, which was Mark Niskanen at the time. I was like, yo, can I play with you guys? And he was like, yeah, sure. So we played, you know, I played with him one time, but then I was really like, man, like, I need to like, you know, do this for myself. Like, I need to have a band that can play this kind of music. And so that's when Madison and I started talking. This band was kind of like a vehicle for me to, you know, get my expression out there and try these new things, because as a saxophone player, I, you know, mainly listen to really traditional jazz, and so I was kind of like, okay, well, how can I, you know, venture out into these different landscapes?
You mentioned a certain lineup of instruments. Is that the key? Electric keyboard, electric bass, saxophone, jazz guitar, drums.
It's kind of like a take on like the traditional jazz, like quartet instrumentation. For us, we have a quintet, but it comes from like the regular jazz, so like upright bass, saxophone or trumpet, piano and drums. So we're all in the same role, but we just play electronic instruments. I now play iwi. Grayson plays Rhodes and keyboard. Matt plays electric bass, and Saliba plays guitar. Sorry, Andrew plays guitar, and he has like a lot of cool effects that he uses. So it all comes from that, but we've just kind of electrified ourselves.
Yeah, I like to think of it as just like jazz, but catching up to the technology of where instruments are nowadays, and which enables us to access a lot more sounds than, you know, what is just an acoustic instrument just has like that one sound. And now we're able to do a lot more, and which has been really fun. All of these guys are really good at experimenting with that, and it's cool.
Matt, you're the bassist. What's your story about joining Lush?
For me, I was a freshman coming into Western when this band was formed, and I was also from Ann Arbor, so I kind of known Eddie before. We had shared the same jazz class, and so I got here to Western, and it was probably just my first week or second week. Eddie texted me like, "Hey, like, join my band." I was like, 2 weeks into college, so nervous, just like, "Oh, okay." Like,
I don't want to say no.
And then I showed up and like met all of these guys pretty much for the first time. We were talking about the kind of music we were doing, and at the time, I was listening to a lot of Flying Lotus and Thundercat, which are a bit more electronic than jazz, but definitely jazz influenced. And so me being interested in that music, I was like, oh, sweet. So like, I'm so in for this band. Like, let's go. Like, full pedal to the metal. Like, let's.
Is it hard to switch back and forth from the acoustic bass to the electric bass?
I think by this point, I've played so much electric bass. Like, I've never had lessons on electric bass, but so many people would rather hire me for electric bass than upright bass, just because that's just the industry. People want to hear pop or funk or whatever. So I think like minutes and hours wise, I've played more electric than upright, even though upright is my like academic major or what I'm trying to study. But so I've like played both a lot, but electric maybe a bit more.
And can I get a story from Andrew about joining Lush?
I think going back to the question of why this music, I think it relates to what we listen to, what we experience, and what's more, what we hear in our heads. Because one of the wonderful things that I love about this group is that everybody writes and arranges for the group. Everybody has kind of a distinct set of musical ideas that they can draw from, but we're all working towards a common aesthetic, which I think serves us as a group very well. Plus, music is vibrant. It's alive. It's always changing and morphing and moving and doing new things. And the moment that we start treating it as a sacred institution is when it becomes a dead thing that stops relating to people. So this is the music that we like to listen to. And we're trying to sort of recreate that vibrancy and that essence without necessarily being just the music we like to listen to. We want to be our music. And I think that this particular set of people and all of our influences and all of our musical experiences and aspirations leads us to do exactly that.
Andrew Saliva is a guitarist and one of the writers for the band Lush. Now, Andrew, I know you said everyone is busy writing for the group, but this most recent project is one that is really near and dear to your heart, both as a composer and as the person who kind of came up with the overarching theme. Can you talk about that?
Well, the music has been, I've been sort of dwelling on this concept for a very long time. I used to have a lot of sleep issues. I just wouldn't sleep well. I used to lucid dream without knowing what it was. And I had some weird conflation issues where I wasn't sure all the time if I was dreaming or not. And it was strange. But so I've been thinking about, I don't know, it kind of leads you to question the nature of reality. There's that story about the Chinese sage who dreamed he was a butterfly. And it was such a vivid and real dream to him that when he woke up, he wasn't sure whether he was a butterfly dreaming he was a man or a man that had dreamed he was a butterfly. So the things we think have so much power over us. And when we're not sure of what we're thinking, or when we're thinking those things in the dark recesses of our mind, I think that they gain a level of mysticism that isn't there for our normal everyday conscious thoughts. So I like to read poetry. I like Keats. I like William Blake. Poe is classic. Robert Louis Stevenson. So I collected some poems from all of them that have to do with sleep. And I try to write poetry. So I have a poem of my own that's made its way into this project as well. And it kind of ties together some of the conceptual things I'm trying to go for in the music as well. So that's the role the poetry plays.
How is it incorporated into the show?
Well, there's going to be a recitation, live recitation of the poetry. And in addition, some of the musical concepts that I'm trying to convey relate back to the ideas that I present in the poetry. There's, when you're falling asleep, maybe you have that one fixative idea that stays lodged in your brain, and you might spend an entire night coming back to it in different ways, in different dreams. But it's changing, it's shifting, it's never the same idea exactly every time that you think it. So there's a little bit of that that comes through in the poetry. There's a little bit of the confusion behind whether this is a waking state, whether this is a sleeping state. Is it a continuum? And what really am I experiencing? So those ideas I try to tackle both in the poetry and in the music.
How many pieces are actually on the program?
There are four musical pieces based on different aspects of sleep and dream cycles. It starts with insomnia. The next movement is, well, it's called Sleep Suite 2. And it's either onirophrenia or parasomnia, depending on my mood. And onirophrenia is the hallucinatory state that's brought on by an extreme lack of sleep. And parasomnia is a big basket name for a collection of different kinds of sleep disorders. Things like night terrors and sleep paralysis and different kinds of dream experiences. There's a third movement also called Flying Dreams. And that's the one kind of more straightforward piece that's an actual dream. And then Hypnagogia is the last movement. Hypnagogia is the transitional state between sleep and wakefulness.
I'm speaking with the members of Lush, producer Alex Tobin, Matthew Epperson, Andrew Saliba, Madison George, Eddie Codrington, and Grayson Nye. Their music is available on Bandcamp, and you can go to Facebook to find and follow this frequently performing group.
It is to be noted, Lush is spelled with two H's. So Facebook.com/LushBand, spell Lush with two H's.
Would you pronounce that for me, please? Lush.
Lush. Actually, I like to. I prefer Lush. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
Lush, just wondering.
Lush H Band.
I want to talk about exploration. The music feels relaxed, but it also feels searching. And I think that's a really special place to be when you find a group of people that you can share that time and space with. I'm not hearing showboating, I guess. Mm. And there's some great technical playing, but the tracks are for listening. They're really wow. Great. Am I picking up on an actual vibe that you would confirm, Eddie?
Yeah, that's definitely like one thing we're trying to do, especially since we're all at this age and we're all searching individually for our own, you know, sounds and our own identities as people and as musicians. This band is kind of a vehicle for that. Like, specifically for me as a composer for this band, you know, there's a lot of things that I want to sound like and a lot of things that I want to, you know, go and try and do. But as this band gets older and as we get more experienced, I'm starting to look within to see, like, okay, where does my sound actually, you know, come from? Because, you know, as much as we love the bands that we listen to, we're not those bands and we're not those musicians and we can't be those musicians. So it's, you know, on us to use that to try to find, okay, where are we going to go and where's, you know, our sound going? And another thing we also, like, are trying to do is when you said, you know, the music is like it you can listen to it, even though we're very technical. That's like a really delicate balance we're trying to, because we, you know, we love jazz and we love complexity and we love all that stuff, but we also want to reach a, you know, a different audience. But we want the music to be emotionally satisfying to us, so that we're always, you know, trying to find where that balance is, and it's really delicate.
I guess maybe some of the comfortability in our sound is the fact that we all gel incredibly well musically. And that goes back to, like, the formation of the band. Going back to that first recording session we had on Great Fairies, to this day, I think, at least in my, for me, one of the best recording sessions I've ever been on, because we all just clicked really well together musically, which is cool because we all come from very different backgrounds. And that has been the, I think, one of the main things that has, like, fueled us to keep going, is we all just work incredibly well musically. We can communicate incredibly well. And so some of, like you said, it, there's not a lot of showboating. I think it's because we genuinely enjoy each other's playing and we love, like, interacting with each other, and we do that really well. And that's why this band, the five of us, have continued to work together. Yeah.
It sounds like you were actually a little unprepared for that to happen.
Yeah, I think going along with that kind of surprising element, when we got into the studio in that recording session, different things happened than what we had originally planned. And we liked those things, and those things ended up on the final, you know, cut. Like, for example, the very end of the tune, I sort of take a pseudo solo, and we had never planned that, and I had never told Alex that, and he was live mixing it, so he kind of realized, you know, as it was happening, oh, Grayson is, you know, he's kind of coming out here, maybe I should turn him up in the mix. So, you know, shouts out to Alex for, like, hearing that and, you know, being aware of that. And then, yeah, like, we don't plan those things. Some things just happen. And that's, you know, that's what makes us special. Is obviously we, you know, we have our plan. We go in and we have what we're going to do. But sometimes the best things come from what we don't expect.
It's nice that we can hear right now the moment that you all realized how well you clicked together. This theme from The Legend of Zelda, recorded by Alex Tobin. I'd perhaps like to hear about some dreams and ideas of for the future, individually or hopefully playing together. But I'd like to know what the forecast looks like for Lush. And since, actually, you're on mic, Eddie, let's start with you.
Okay. I'm kind of focusing on getting this band as far as possible until it's time, you know, for us to graduate. And my kind of plan is to, wherever we leave off, if you know, we get to the summer and we're doing, you know, really, really well, and it just makes sense to just, you know, keep this going, then I'm probably going to, you know, invest my full time and energy into it. But as, like, a solo musician, I want to go out to the West, you know, to LA and do LA things out there. But my, like, personal dream would be if we were all in LA, making music, and after maybe a, you know, short hiatus, we'd get back together and make music again in a not school area, so we'd have a lot of time to be together and make music and to do what we want to do with our music.
All right. Who's next? Grayson.
Yeah, my goal is basically the same as Eddie's. I also want to end up in the LA area. So he and I kind of, you know, jokingly but also seriously talk about, you know, going out there together, saving up some money, and then, you know, moving out there and just immersing ourselves in the scene there. And then we kind of just hope that everyone else will follow us. But yeah, obviously, you know, Eddie said it, and I also want to stay together as a band. That's also a huge goal of mine. So, you know, obviously we're not all the same age, we're not all the same grade level. So we're not all going to graduate at the same time. So there's going to be a few years of, you know, some of us are in school, some of us are, you know, out in the world already. And I think, you know, it's important then to keep doing what we're doing and stay together as much as we can, even if we're kind of spreading out. And then I think at some point, inevitably, there's going to be some sort of break. Whether or not that is forever is kind of up to us. But personally, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep this band together, because, you know, this has been my greatest experience in not only college, but in my life. Like, this band means so much to me. They're, you know, they're my family. And so, you know, I don't want to lose them.
I would agree with the idea that every band has a lifespan, but I don't think it has to be shorter than that of its members. And I don't think that it has to be bounded by geography, for that matter. There are any number of people who might live in different continents. So even if we don't necessarily have weekly rehearsals, I don't think we're ever going to stop playing together. And there might be breaks in time, lapses, when we don't play together regularly. But I think we all love the group enough to keep it going no matter what happens. Plus, if Grayson and Eddie do move to LA, I have family in Southern California anyways, so.
I think wherever I wind up, I'm just always going to be waiting on the call from these guys, you know, because I think, I'm sure they can relate, but I find comfort in knowing that Lush couldn't be Lush without me on bass. And yeah, it couldn't be Lush without Grayson on keys or Eddie on saxophone. So I know for a fact that when the band comes together, they'll call me and I'll be there whenever that is.
I'm just moved to say something that's kind of bumbling around up in my head. For listeners out there who have deep emotional connections to the bands they were listening to when they were in college, you know, getting to discover the bands you got to know in all the small clubs around town that you could stand right in front of and just imprint yourself on each other. That is happening right now. It's always been happening. But these young people are the people that are creating that scene as I speak, they and many others. And you don't have to let go of that feeling. You can become, again, invested in very original music being made right here in Kalamazoo. And I know they'd appreciate your support. So this is a band that you might not want to miss. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I spoke to the five members of Lush: Andrew Saliba, Matt Epperson, Eddie Codrington, Madison George, and Grayson Nye, and producer Alex Tobin. They'll be recording their next album in front of a live audience in two sessions next Saturday, November 18th at 4:30 and 8 p.m. at Overneath Creative Collective Studios, downtown Kalamazoo. It's a free event, but seating is limited. They recommend you sign up through Facebook. Lush is spelled L-U-S-H-H. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in to Weekend Let's Hear It. Have a great weekend.